Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
I don't know. We'll get into that in a second, Jeff, because it's time to start the Olafield's Fantasy Podcast. I hope we're recording, because you know Jose's listening. Not live, of course, unless there's a way he's tapping into our laptops and our Wi-Fi, the T-Bell Wi-Fi, maybe. Jose, tried and true fan. I might even be the number one new fan. We'll get into that in a little bit. What a wild weekend. Super wild card weekend in the books, Jeff. And also, I need to pick your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Is the word super making a comeback? Because my mom is all over it. She is on the word cognoscenti.
Maybe it's
and just telling me the word super is coming back. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, Mom.
I don't know if the word super ever was not in the lexicon. I don't know if it ever left. Maybe it's just making a little bit of a comeback. I would have to know a little bit more about the context that Karen's throwing it around in. Is it just like this is
saying
a
super.
Have a super Sunday or you know
super
duper,
but then of course
super
wild card weekend is a thing and I'm like, oh great, here we go. But anyways, that's super wild card weekend in the books. All the Fields Fantasy Podcast, thanks for joining us. Can't wait for this weekend, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good stuff abound. Fantasy football playoff challenges. And hey, if you sucked last week, hey, there's another one already in the books if you want to do one for $200. If you want to suck you back in. But we're still in it, Jeff. And we'll talk about that in a second. But first, how's it going?
Oh, you know, doing great. It's, you guys got some snow, so you're living the winter life. We're living the California winter life. We're in our 40s and 50s, but then it gets up to 70 in the middle of the day. So classic California weather over here. I enjoyed the Super Wild Card weekend, you know, living the dad life. It's tough to capture every moment of every game, but watched enough. Shout out to Jose. I think if there was a kind of like a rookie of the year, like a new listener of the year, he's top spot, like easily. Overall MVP, I mean, that there you would have to, you know, I think go by Twitter interactions. And by that measure, Jose is finding a way into the MVP spot. Twitter challenge update up to 42 last I checked. Jose rallying the troops. Be more like Jose, people. Not only joining himself, getting his league mates, his friends, his family to join. Come on now. Maybe he made all those fake accounts. I mean, that is a hearty effort on his end.
Just to kind of follow that up, not only is he gathering us gathering the troops, but a sports gambling podcast now follows us.
Oh yeah. There we go.
That's a big one. Using their research a lot on the Reddit and the internet alike for the fantasy football challenge and DraftKings stuff like that. Great follow there. Great rookie of the year, comeback player of the year, offensive player of the year, all of the above for Jose. And hey, if he's possibly creating fake accounts, then executive of the year.
Absolutely.
He is finding talent in places that did not exist. We can go through all that stuff. We can go through the Twitter followers, the challenge. It says 43 now. So it does say 43. So 7 more before we get to the elusive 50. Before we get into football, Jeff, we don't have a lot to really talk about here. Big football-centric weekend. Although I guess I could talk about Vegas coming up. But let's just – something that you wrote, you only wrote one thing. And it's something that has kind of intrigued me that I have yet to dive into. Get into it right now. Snowpiercer.
You may have seen the ads for season 2 coming out. A lot of internet, a lot of digital ads. Terry, shout out to Terry, had watched season 1, really enjoyed it. So it's kind of one of those shows where I feel like the premise is more interesting than the actual show. Obviously not a ringing endorsement off the top, but it takes place on a perpetual motion machine, kind of like a train, that is literally just riding around the Earth because the Earth was, you know, experiencing heavy global warming. So they tried to cool the Earth, and in that process, froze the Earth. So these people are on a train. It's like minus 160 outside, but they exist on this train, and there's different levels of the train. Obviously, there's like the first class people who are like the billionaires, and they're just living it up. And, you know, this train has everything you need to survive. There's like agriculture, there's like, you know, farm carts that are on it. It's like 1,000 cars long. So, and then the back, the last, you know, car, if you will, is the tail of the train, and they're called the tailies, and they're kind of like the riffraff who jumped on the train last minute before it took off 7 years ago. And there's been a murder on the Snowpiercer train, and one of the tailies is the only detective, and he has been tasked by the elusive kind of conductor of the train to find out who the murderer is. So, like I said, interesting concept, and kind of the visuals and how they set up the world is interesting. Other things about it, you know, leave you wanting more, if you will.
How many people are on this Earth train?
It's hard to really get a firm grasp. I mean, there's got to be a couple thousand probably. Okay. Because it is pretty massive, and you kind of see like, okay, there's probably like a couple hundred people in the tail, which is like one cart, and then a couple hundred people in the first class, and then a grip in kind of those middle sections. So
I have a lot of questions, but yeah. I'll save it for the Snowpiercer pod.
Yep.
Is this based off of the movie? Because I remember there was a movie that came out in 2013. Sounds like you aren't familiar. But as I did a quick Wikipedia, it's actually from South Korea. It's a South Korean film, you know, Snowpiercer, about the train and the global warming and all that stuff. However, starring Chris Evans, Captain America himself. So it's very interesting how it's a South Korean film starring Chris Evans, Tilda Swinton, and then a couple Korean names, Song Kang-ho, Octavia Spencer. I mean, random people in there.
Yes, this is exactly it.
Yes. So there, yeah, TV series. There you go. Interesting. Definitely might want to add, because I know Jennifer Connelly stars, and I've always been a fan of hers. So I will give it a little shout. I mean, your recommendations aren't always, I don't want to say,
wow.
No.
Aren't always good?
No. You're not going, you're not sniffing when I'm stepping in.
Okay.
They're not always consistent. What was the show on Apple TV, the video game show? It went from like a C to an A to a C, and then just like to a don't watch.
Yeah,
and,
it's a don't watch. It's
yeah, so I'm just saying, you put in the work, not necessarily for good reasoning. So I want to make sure this is a show that has the good reasoning behind it. It's a must watch or a can watch. TNT, very hit or miss, I would say, with some shows.
Yes.
Should I put some time into this?
You know, give it a couple episodes. I think if you get sucked in after the first couple, you'll be locked in. Like you said, if you're a big JC fan, she plays a pretty prominent role. Some would say too prominent, but I'll leave that for the other reviews. Give it a little taste. I mean, season two, kind of intrigued where I am in season one, how there is even going to be a season two, but I guess we'll leave that for, like you said, the Snowpiercer pod.
All right, so we got the big one out of the way. There is one more thing I want to shout out to you. For those that don't know, we never really talk about it because we're terrible at our jobs at the All the Feels Fantasy podcast. We have a Gmail account, allthefeelsfantasy@gmail.com. I'm going to just open the kimono here really quick. And we've been getting a lot of spam lately, you know, we've been trying to reach out, do some stuff, but the latest email that we received was from Huggies. So not sure what's going on there, Jeffrey. Are you using this? Get quick pickup and savings on Huggies, pull-ups, and good nights. Have you been getting coupons delivered to you, Jeff?
I've been trying to go in the inbox and clean up the spam, but I had to keep that Huggies ad. I mean, we're not a Huggies family here, but I mean, you never know if you're in a pinch and you need a little discount, use that code. Huggies coming at you. Unofficial diaper of the pod, I guess.
Wait, so you're not a, what are you then? What family are you?
Well, we started as an honest family, which is just a scam because those diapers are so freaking expensive. Now we're just a Kirkland family. You get a nice 125 pack at Costco. Boom, you're set for like a month.
All right, so there you go. The Kirkland Diapers pod. Love it. Not sure why Huggies is spamming the inbox, but if you're in a pinch, you know, there you go. Pick them up in a cinch. Jeff, let's do some playoff recap here. Not a ton of, we don't need to go through every game. It's Tuesday here on the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast, so people know who won. People know who's playing. But I do want to kind of get into a couple things here. Sunday night we saw the Browns absolutely destroy the Steelers, dismantle them, embarrassing. I even got off work an hour early to try to catch the whole game with the wife. As I'm walking in my car, I see an interception from Ben. I'm like, okay, that's fine, whatever. I get a text from somebody saying it's 7-0. Ha 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 ha. I was like, okay, sounds good. I get in the car. It's now 14-0. I was like, what has happened in the last 30 seconds? Okay, whatever. Driving, I live about 20 minutes away. Start getting more texts. This is hilarious. I can't stop laughing. It's now 21-0. So I shut off my phone. I get home. I walk in. This is a nice play-by-play of my Sunday night. I walk in the house. I say, babe, were you pausing it? No, it's terrible. Okay, I know. I saw it's 21-0. No, it's 28-0. I'm like, what is happening? I've been in the car for 20 minutes and I missed 3 touchdowns. So that's the kind of game that went. And because of the awfulness of this Steelers showing, a coach got fired from Pennsylvania. However, Jeff,
dun, dun, dun.
Not the one you would think after that showing, but well, that's a little tease. With that game, Jeff, I was here, you know, by the time the Steelers kind of made it interesting, I think they're down 12 points or something with like 8 minutes left. And this is kind of a theme throughout the weekend. And it's been a theme for the past couple seasons now. I mean, analytics are here. People are annoyed by them, whether or not they need to be or whether they have any fruitfulness by the computer nerds who are doing it, you know, sitting on their keyboard saying what's the more effective way to go for two or, you know, go for a fourth down. But people are coming up these days, growing up on Madden, playing video games, and we still have these coaches in the NFL who make the most boneheaded decisions. Mm-hmm. And I lived through it. I've lived through it my whole life as a Chargers fan. It seems like we hire the same time management coach since 2004. And any Andy Reid team will kind of tell you the same thing. And Mike Tomlin has the ball. It's 4th-and-1 on like the 45-yard line. And there's two things that go wrong here. I think there's 7 minutes left, and you're thinking, oh, no, I'm sorry. No, no, I know exactly what it was. It was the end of the third quarter. So they had the whole end of the third quarter to think about it. Down by 12, you're on the 45-yard line, and they're like, all right, we're going to go for it. They come back to start the fourth quarter. They bring the punt team out. And then instead of just either punting it or fake punting it, they fake like they're going to fake it, and they try to draw an offsides. What punt team is going to get drawn offsides when they're the ones winning? If the Browns were losing and needed to block this punt, I could see, you know, they're trying to, you know, get a quick release and block the punt. But instead, the Steelers do some weird motioning and stuff, and then they get a delay of the game, and now it's 4th-and-6, and now they're definitely not going for it. So they wasted an opportunity to either go for it or just do something fake to get only 3 feet in a game that you need to win or you're out of the playoffs. And the Browns were kind of reeling too. This is a Browns team that probably just gave up 2 straight touchdowns after being up 30 points. You think you have them where you want them. Not that momentum is a real thing, but this is just kind of a thing that's been going on for so long. And it kind of just makes me think, where are the analytics people on the staff? Jeff, and you're the MIT guy. You're the one who has the numbers. You're crunching the numbers. Did you see this play? Have you read about it, heard about it? And we can go on and on. Mike Vrabel did the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to pull up because I feel like that was a bigger boneheaded move. And I've got the analytics up here, done a little research. Tennessee 4th-and-2 at the Baltimore 40. They're only down by a touchdown. You know, we've got if he goes for it, he has a success probability of 61%, and his win percentage increases from 33% to 41%. If they
Oh, wow.
punt, you know, his win percentage is 24%. So you would think, I want a 41% chance to succeed. Go for it. And even if you fail, he's still at a 20% chance. And you have Derrick Henry. I get it. He wasn't running the ball very well. And a lot of people were saying, you know, that's why he did it. But, I mean, come on. You have the beast for 2 yards. You got it. You can't wave the white flag in the playoffs. You got to go for it.
Yeah, and if you live by the running back, you die. Or, you know, you live by your stars, you die by your stars. And that's exactly. kind of what I wrote in the second point, which is the stars didn't show up for some of these teams. And I get it if it's a long day and, you know, 13 carries for 40 yards or whatever he ended up having, Derrick Henry. You can say, well, this is it. Get 2 yards. You got 2,000 of them during the season. Get two. And if not, we can trick. We can play action, have Tannehill roll. Make Tannehill run it. I don't know. But to those numbers. Whew. And then what happens, and I know what happened in the Steelers game, and it happens all the time. Then they end up punting it, and they get a touchback. And it's like, okay. So you would have given it to them at the 40 yards. Anyway. Now they get it at the 20.
Yeah.
It was
good work. Just,
and these are the guys, Vrabel, and we can go back to Ron Rivera, who probably did one of the better jobs this weekend and throughout the whole season. They talk the talk, you know, we leave it all out on the field, and you know, we're here to yep. win, and then you clutch up, and you become a little, you know, I don't want to say some names here, but you just become a wimp. You become a wimp because the moment becomes too big for you, and you can't put your money where your mouth is, Jeff. Yep. So that's kind of the big
Riverboat
takeaway.
Riverboat Ron, come on.
Yeah, that's the big takeaway this weekend. And other than stars not showing up, I mean, let me take this back. The Steelers stars showed up when it was way too late. Brown stars, they played, you know, their hearts out. Titans, A.J. Brown, he was the dude who kind of showed up, and we'll get to him in a minute or so. The Bears did not show up. David Montgomery was bad out. The whole offense was terrible. That game in general, not great. I think it was 7-3 in the third quarter. Definitely people did not see that one coming. And the last game we have not talked about is the Colts and Bills. I guess that was probably the best game of the weekend. Poor Phillip Rivers. First time losing in the wild card round. Did not see that one coming. I guess they always win when he was the Chargers. They won the first game. They just could not get past either the divisional or get to the Super Bowl. So poor Phillip Rivers, possibly done with his career. Salute to the man himself. He's got to start taking care of his 9 kids. Maybe he can go on some Nickelodeon broadcasts.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, those children need tending to on his ranch, farm, estate.
It's a lot of Kirkland diapers.
I mean, gotta use that Costco. Get them bulks. At least he didn't really blow it. I felt like that would have been a bad way for Rivers to go out, but he didn't Rivers it. So I feel like that was, although he lost, good for his legacy from that perspective. Did we touch on the Peterson fine? We just kind of mentioned it in passing.
No. Oh, shoot. Tease.
A tease. Doug Peterson. That was a surprise. Mm-hmm. I will say, you know, for a man that, what, 2 years ago won the Super Bowl? 3 years? I don't remember. Is the Eagles a good landing spot? We saw in the chat Muff was advocating it's a good spot. I mean, you obviously have Jalen Hurts. But all I've heard, and I tried to pull up some articles real quick, couldn't get any quick stats. They are in cap hell, and they have a lot of their money. They're kind of like the Texans, and they have a lot of money tied up in previous big names that now aren't delivering on the field. So any thoughts on the Peterson firing, the Eagles opportunity? You know, what does this mean for Wentz? What does it mean for fantasy?
You know how this podcast feels about the Eagles. We don't really need to dive too far into it. The trolling on Twitter is high from me.
Yes.
You know, we go through this. We can rewind this podcast 3 seasons and have us going over the off-season predictions and have it always reading the articles. The Eagles are the most talented team in the NFC. I mean, rinse and repeat on that.
Yep.
And yet, here we are. saying now all of a sudden saying it's a team with no talent. Don't know what happened in the last 9 months, but apparently they lost a whole bunch of talent. They have Darius Slay, Fletcher Cox, Carson Wentz. Those are like their big names who command a lot of money. I could imagine someone like Alshon Jeffrey will not be on the team.
Nope.
I could not even guess how old he is, which I bet he's still sneaky young. I bet somehow he's like 31. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, what the? He's been in the league forever. I don't think it's a very good job. I mean, I guess you have Jalen Hurts. If that's your guy, you're going to come in and want to be Jalen Hurts' mentor. But we've seen this before, and we see it every single year. When a team drafts a quarterback and a new coach comes in, they don't want that quarterback anymore. It just happened this year with Ron Rivera and Dwayne Haskins. He didn't draft them, so why would he want them? Is that going to happen with the new Eagles person? I think really the big question is, where does Carson Wentz go? Does he follow Doug Peterson somewhere? Probably not. Does he go to the Colts? Because they have Frank Reich. Mm.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to be losing out on Rivers probably. That's the guy who helped turn Carson Wentz into that possible MVP, and they won the Super Bowl together before Reich went to the Colts. So I think that could be a little interesting landing spot. But as for the Eagles, nah. I mean, that division, as sorry as that division is, the Cowboys will most likely go back to normal after their injuries, and maybe the Washington football team can kind of rebound as well and keep it going. With their whatever quarterback they get to keep their, I don't want to say division title going, but kind of momentum they have as a great defense and some pieces on offense. So I think it's not one of the better jobs out there.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Plus, you got the Eagles fans. I mean, come on.
Yeah, all the talk radio and all that. I mean, they pipe booze in for their own team. Alshon Jeffrey's 30 years old, so right on the money. On that one, Will.
Wow. So he's younger than Antonio Brown. I want everybody to think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown is 31, I believe. Age?
32. Mm. Yes. July 10th, 1988.
Oh, don't ever say our age. Oh, God. That sounds...
Our league.
And he's younger than... But Alshon Jeffrey's only 30. That is unbelievable. That is so sneaky young. He's still in his prime, technically. Other than, you know, him getting injured and all that. One last thing, Jeff, I will touch on is the Nickelodeon broadcast of the Bears versus the Saints. I had this recorded because I wanted to watch, and Twitter was a buzz when I was home, just kind of reading what people were talking about it. Definitely got off to a rough start, but it kind of started with like a SpongeBob intro. They had SpongeBob and Sandy and Patrick talking about football. And Patrick and SpongeBob have no idea what it is because they live in the sea. And Sandy is, you know, those who don't remember SpongeBob, I mean, still going strong. Sandy is from the land. She's a squirrel. So she, being a squirrel, apparently knows what football is. So she kind of tells them all about football. And it was very kid-centric. Very, if you don't know anything about football, watch it, learn a little bit, because the announcers were doing a really good job of just explaining everything. And in the beginning, like I said, a little rough, the first down markers, you know, they do like the superimposed yellow first down line and the blue is the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And, you know, just to kind of show you on the TV where it is. Well, they were having some difficulties with that. First of all, their first down line was purple. They were purple and orange, I believe, the colors they were using.
Okay.
But the graphics were tied to the camera. So whenever the camera zoomed out or moved, the lines went with the camera. They figured it out. They fixed it after about a drive or two.
Okay.
And then they were also using some really weird camera angles, for better or worse. Like, they were using, like, isometric views, diagonal views, lower views. Like, it was kind of cool because they were definitely doing some weird stuff. And the last thing I'll say, and I've kind of talked about this in the pregame show, was Nate Burleson was the color commentator, the analyst, and he did an awesome job. They were all explaining everything, what penalties were and what is a safety worth, an extra point is only 1 point, etc. But then he would have to switch from that and say, you know, oh, Michael Thomas, he's a really good receiver. He catches anything and he's their star wide receiver. And also watch as he does his dig route and sits in the middle and gets in between these two zones. And then like, it's just like, whoa, okay. Trying to balance both. But I think it was a really big hit. on Twitter. Connor, or Are You Kidding Me? Wrote an article for Sports Illustrated detailing everything about it, and I think it might be a success, Jeff.
Wow.
I know I'd want to show someone who's never watched it on that, because it's so laid back. You know how it is when some people get a little too serious watching their stuff, and you don't want people asking dumb questions, right? Well, this had them all ready to go.
There we go. Fired them up. Want to get a quick take as the production guru of not only the All the Feels Fantasy podcast, but just life in general. What are your thoughts on this new angle? I don't know if it's an angle, lens, filter that they're putting on. It's almost like a portrait mode for after
plays. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Or touchdown. It's bothering me. Okay, it is bothering me. It's just it's too crisp, and it's just because they go from like a normal look to that look, and it's like, whoa, it's a bit too much for me.
Yeah, it blurs out the background. Yeah, it's portrait mode. That's exactly what it's doing, right? It's making the primary subject the focus. It does the filtering, not the filtering, the blurring of the background. It was definitely jarring.
Yeah.
And it was during that game I saw it too, to be honest. It was jarring, and it kind of makes them pop out. Looks very 3D-ish, right? Like a virtual reality kind of thing. I'm all for change. I'm all for a little wrinkle here and there. We've been watching football, not me and you, but just the world has been watching football on television for 40 years. Let's get something new in here. You know, spice things up. You know, sometimes on Sunday Night Football, they'll just have a whole drive with the Skycam.
That's true.
And you're like, okay, like, whatever. That's not fun. But, it keeps you on your toes. So I'm all for innovation. The pylon cam finally is a thing, right? Like, where has that been for the last 30 years? So anything new to kind of keep us guessing. And, hey, if it doesn't work, if people don't like it, they'll take it away. So there's my thoughts on that. It was definitely jarring, though, when I first saw it. Portrait mode.
Takes some getting used to.
That's right. By the way, the MVP, this is a funny meme going around. So they have the, the first round picks of 3 years ago, right? Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
They all have their trophies. It shows Patrick Mahomes with like a Super Bowl MVP, Deshaun Watson, Heisman Trophy or National Championship, whichever one he has. And then it's Mitchell Trubisky. For some reason, he won the Nickelodeon Valuable Player.
Oh.
Yeah.
During the game or just previously?
I think it was after the game. The kids voted. I'm not sure how that happened.
He lost.
But no, it's okay because now he has it. That's what he has on his resume to go with Nickelodeon's Valuable Player. There you go. He wins the first MVP award. So he has that. You know, Deshaun Watson has his trophy and Patrick Mahomes has his. But you can't say Mitchell Trubisky is a bust now.
I guess. And okay, can you confirm, did Sean Payton get actually slimed? Was that on the broadcast?
I've been seeing that
go around Twitter. I didn't know if that was like fake news or what.
You're right. I think it was before it even happened, they asked if he was going to do it, right? Let's see. Did Sean Payton, this is a, get slimed. Wow. Did Sean Payton have cancer? Oh.
Oh, no.
A little Geico ad in a big spot. Did you hear that?
I couldn't hear it on my end.
Okay. Yeah, he did get slimed. Wow, I see a picture right now.
All right. Well, there you go.
Sean Payton doing it for the boys. All right, enough of this riffraff, Jeff.
I feel like if you make an idiot move, you should just get slimed. That spices up the broadcast a big time.
You use the timeout because you might get a delay of game in the third quarter with eight minutes left?
You're getting slimed.
You're getting slimed. We're not getting slimed, Jeff. We might. I don't know. But we got the playoff challenge here, the FFPC. Playoff challenge here with some updates here. I have our final team here with percentages. We don't need to go through everything and points. I just wanted to kind of lay it out for you just in case. Yeah. We can kind of go over, you know, anything mistakes we made. I really only wrote one mistake. I've got the table underneath that showing the number of teams who have all eight players left, seven players, etc. What do you think? First looking at it, how do you think we're doing? What do you kind of big picture gather here?
Yeah, so I think what we talked about last time was you need kind of a core base to kind of build off of some big names and then some contrarian takes and kind of looking, we kind of highlighted in the last show that Claypool And Brady, I think, were kind of our top contrarian takes, just kind of how what the research was showing initially. And it kind of ended up that, yes, Brady and Claypool were big contrarians, but Montgomery was, I think, the one where it was our contrarian whiff. Because while Derrick Henry only scored 8 points, like 75% of lineups had Derrick Henry, so you're not getting a big disadvantage or advantage on that. And the alternative was probably AJ Brown and maybe some Ryan Tannehills, and so those aren't getting people points anymore. So big whiff there. I guess going forward, we're really relying on Michael Thomas and Brady to provide that necessary differentiation. So we kind of need, well, aren't those teams playing each other?
They are.
Yeah, yeah. So that doesn't bode well. So I think we need, gosh, we need a big game, I think, out of Michael Thomas and a Brady W, given that Brady is not even 10% owned, to keep this train a rolling. This is going to be a big week. We were talking about it before the pod, Will. You got to have the right players go big and continue on this week to try and get some of these big scores in the Super Bowl, to make it. Any other things you were happy with? I think we did a good job with our fades. I don't even know who we were considering on football team and the Colts, but I guess we would have picked Jonathan Taylor and maybe the defense, so that wouldn't have worked out very good for Washington. I don't think we would have been ballsy enough to go with the tight end for the Washington.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor was actually 47% owned.
Oh, wow.
On just about 6,000 teams. So he was the Colt that everyone had. As far as, like, Rivers was only owned on 12 total teams. I don't even know. And the highest T.Y. Hilton was somehow picked more than any other. He was only at 3%. So there you go. So not very many people picked the Colts, and if they did, they picked Jonathan Taylor. I think you nailed it with our kicker and we kicked Jason Myers, the Seahawks kicker. So we pretty much were fading those two teams.
Yeah.
But still picking their players. I mean, we picked the right defense, but us, along with a lot of other people, apparently 40% of people picked the Rams defense. Pretty insane number.
Yeah.
If you ask me. So they probably had the same mindset. The one that I kind of made us do, I feel like it was me, David Montgomery, because I kind of had a little bit of faith in the Bears to upset the Saints, and it started out looking good, but just not because of David Montgomery. It was more so the Bears defense. I think having you kind of already said it. I think if we would have just had Taylor instead of Montgomery, we'd be in an amazing shape, just because we would have gotten an extra 18 points or so. And we have to think about this, Jeff. They're all playing each other. You said Brady's playing Michael Thomas. Well, all eight players are playing against each other. That's what's unique about this league. You don't get to pick any more players. Next week, we're going to have 4. Week after that, we're going to have 2. So it's just which ones kind of make it on. And I think the part you were just kind of saying was, I guess out of the remaining games, do we want Mark Andrews to be the one that survives, I guess, going up against the Bills? Or would we rather have Diggs? I mean, I guess having Mark Andrews, because he's only 36%. But this also, to kind of be devil's advocate, we're guaranteed to have one contrarian person to move on.
That's true.
Having Brady versus Thomas.
Brady and Michael Thomas.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we want them both to have a big game. And I think if we really want to succeed, we need Brady to keep on moving on. But they are 0-2 so far against the Saints this season.
Yeah.
The one other note that I put was that 40% of teams did not have a Cleveland player. So we did a really good job, at least by your stretch of mind, like, let's just pick a Cleveland player. I did not have any faith in them. So good job by you getting us Chubb.
Yeah, big time Chubb. Yeah, the Allen Robinson probably would have been the better play on the Montgomery. He at least had a touchdown and some catches. Montgomery didn't have a bad game. He had almost 90 yards on the ground. I guess he had a fumble, though. So
let's say, you know. What? How did he only get 3 points then?
Yeah, I don't know.
He had 90 yards?
I just looked at the stats. Saints Bears stats.
What did he fumble? What did he fumble 3 times?
Let's see.
Wow, this is some high quality David research here, Montgomery. guys. This is the David Montgomery show. David Montgomery, David Montgomery. He might have been looking for the player earlier this year.
Sorry, yeah,
he had 31 yards. Weird.
31 yards. On the like game leaders on ESPN, David Montgomery, 21 carries, 89 yards. That is fix that immediately.
Wow, thanks a lot. And I was going to say, Jimmy Graham, I think, had like a touchdown at the end of the game, like with 0 seconds left. So he had their only touchdown.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that website Robinson is all screwed up. Did have
six catches. Yeah, thanks a lot, ESPN. Anyway, so I got one more chart on here. Just looking down here, it kind of just shows this is an audio medium, but it just shows the amount of teams left and what players they have. There's only 12 teams left that have 8 players that are all skill positions, and there's just over 400 teams that have 8 teams left, with one of them being a quarterback. We are in the 8 people left, with one of them being a defense section. But, you know, we're kind of thinking that's going to change next week when the Rams play the Packers, and we'll see how those numbers update. I would assume...
So that's pretty good for us then, right?
Like, if think about we're in that. The 15%, 15% grouping. And I imagine, if I were to take a guess, I would say 90% of those teams have the Rams as their defense. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. So we need to be top 12%, and we're right now, just based on like points remaining, like top 20%. So we're in striking distance with the right people winning and moving on.
I think we had one miss, and that was Montgomery. I mean, every one of our play, or I mean, Henry obviously was a miss, but that was everyone's miss. Aside from that, every one of our players had a decent game. Brady had a great game. Chubb had a touchdown. Dix had a touchdown. Michael Thomas had a touchdown. Claypool had an amazing garbage time game.
Yep.
Myers, the Rams defense. I mean, Mark Andrews, the Ravens in themselves weren't great. They struggled until the very end. So hopefully he'll pick it up next week. I'm excited, though. Excited to see what's going to happen this weekend, especially since I will be in Vegas to watch these 4 amazing games. Although one of them, I mean, I don't know. This is where we're going to get into now. We're going to take a look at these numbers, these games. And I'm just curious where your head's at here, because I went 0 for 6 this weekend. Oh. 0 for 6. Now, this is the spread as well, but I literally went 0 and 6. I did not get one game right in this pool that I'm in. Can I reverse that this weekend coming up and get a nice little parlay? Well, let's talk about it here. First game, this is in order. Rams at the Packers. This is going to be about Saturday afternoon. Packers are 6.5-point favorites right now with the over-under 45.5. Not really sure who's playing quarterback for the Rams. I think it's going to be Goff.
Goff.
Because the Wolford guy almost got his neck broken.
Yeah, that was...
What do you think? Also, we didn't even kind of mention this. The Packers got a new new left tackle. Jared Valdir, who just played for the Colts this weekend. And this is kind of something else that's going on. I just saw that the Bills just signed Devonta Freeman. Very interesting.
From the Giants?
Yep, because he was... I guess this year was a little different. You can have so many players on your practice squad. And when someone's on your practice squad, they can get signed off to another team. Interesting. So the Colts had Jared Valdir on their practice squad, I guess. So that's why the Packers were able to sign him, which is a pretty good signing considering they did, their star left tackle got hurt a couple weeks ago. And now the Bills are just adding Freeman because I think Zach Moss might have gotten hurt. Not too sure on that. But right now, Rams at Packers, 6.5 points. Who you got?
Aaron Donald has that rib cartilage injury. Mm-hmm. We'll see if he plays. I mean, straight up the Packers, but are they going to cover... the weather in Lambeau, I would probably go Packers and under. The Rams looked so bad. I mean, so bad.
It was just, I'm glad I didn't watch 1 second of that game.
Yeah, I watched way too much of that game. It was garbage. Hot trash.
But is this going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, wow, who would have thought after the way they played last week, the Rams up 14-7 in the fourth quarter? You know what I mean? Like, is it going to be one of these annoying games where no one saw coming? Or is this going to be a good blowout the Packers need to kind of, like, show that they are the real deal?
Yeah, that 6.5 is a solid line. I look, the defense of the Rams is the real deal. Even without Donald, they were getting pressure with four on
Oh,
Russ, not
no.
letting him cook. So I think Rodgers is savvy. I think the O-line of the Packers is probably a little better than the Seahawks. They have running backs out of the back that I think are better than, or at least comparable to the Seahawks. So I think the Packers at home in the cold weather, it's tough. It's tough. I'd probably go Packers.
All right, I mean, I'll take him straight up. I don't know about the spread yet. I mean, that's going to be a game day decision with the quarterback situation with the Rams. Saturday night, probably the best game, in my opinion, of the weekend. Ravens at the Bills. Bills are 2.5 point favorites right now. The over-under, a little high, 50 in Buffalo. They're going to have some fans there again, but, only 6,000. I thought Bills Mafia was crazy. Can't they get more than 6,000 fans there for a playoff game? Come on. What do you think, Jeff, about this one? This is going to be the battle of first round quarterbacks from 2018. Woo!
Bills, baby, straight up. I think the Ravens defense is worse than the Colts defense, and their offense didn't really. Okay, if Lamar doesn't make that monster run, are people believing in him still? How much hype is he getting if he doesn't have that 50-yard brilliant run? I think the Bills defense is more disciplined. I think Bills offense and Josh Allen are still playing well. Maybe didn't explode at the Colts, but the Colts have a good defense. So I like the Bills at home at Orchard Park. I'm
Oh,
not
wow.
a Ravens believer. I think the momentum really slowed down against a boneheaded Titans team. So I go Bills.
Man, I really want the Bills to win. I would love if this just keeps going. Man. I mean, I'm picking the Bills. Am I confident? No, because I thought the Ravens were going to lose to the Titans. That obviously did not happen, although it was closer than maybe people thought it was going to be. But yeah, I'll take the Bills. I'll take the Bills, and I'll take them with a 2.5 just because I'm a moron and I think, well, if they're going to win, they'll win by more than 2 points, right? Ha. Next thing you know, it'll be a 1 point game. But I'll take the over as well. I think you are right, though. Last week, the Titans defense is terrible. And it took a 50-yard touchdown run for the Ravens to kind of get going. The Bills don't have a great defense, but does that mean just because, maybe the Ravens offense? I don't know what I'm talking about. Diggs, just keep being a Diggs dude. That's all
Thanks,
I want with
dude.
it. Sunday after, or I guess it's like Sunday morning. This is the game.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
Just
Oh,
going
yeah.
back. Why is like the jumping on the logo on the field like a thing
I
now?
don't.
Is it
I
always a thing?
have no idea what's going on with that.
Like I guess after the Marcus Peters interception at the end of that Ravens game, like the entire defense just went on the
Oh yeah.
logo and stomped it. I was like, okay, well,
I
enjoy
mean,
that. Enjoy that 15-yard penalty.
I was there in 2004 when, or wait, what year was this? In 2006 at Qualcomm when the Patriots beat the Chargers, and they went on the logo and started doing stuff, and then like LT got pissed off and there was kind of a little brouhaha at the end of the game. So something about just going on the logo and it's a disrespectful thing, I guess. But yeah, that was
Interesting.
back in 2006. So
It's been around.
yeah, it's been happening. And now you got TikTok and Juju. Did you see the video of Juju kind of doing like a mid dance in the middle, not in the middle of the game, near the end of the game while they were losing? Did you see that video? I'll send it to you if you haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen that. Send it over.
He's literally lining up in the slot and he looks to the sideline and does like a little dance. They're down by 20 points.
For TikTok?
I believe so. I'm
Oh,
not sure what's
wow.
happening there.
It's all about the
Browns at
social.
Chiefs Sunday morning slash afternoon. Chiefs are 10-point favorites. Over under 56 though. Oh boy,
Holy
that's a
moly.
lot of points. The one thing that I'll say, I don't think the Browns are gonna win, but I
No.
do want to say this, and it kind of we just saw it happen. If there's a team that starts slow against the Browns, And it's been Brown's rhetoric for 30 years to always give up big leads or to always they can't finish. But if there's going to be a team that does finish the job, and they have done it this year, they did it against the Colts. They did it just now against the Steelers. Once they get the lead, it is so hard to get it back because their running backs are just so good. So if the Chiefs start slow like they have done all season, does that mean the Browns have a chance to win, Jeff?
I think it does, and if I was a gambling man, I think I'd take the Browns with the points. Chiefs are going to win, but it's going to be close. If the end of this season taught us anything, it's don't bet on the Chiefs with whatever the spread is.
I don't think I think they haven't covered. I think they only covered like 3 games this year, maybe 4. Yeah, so you're definitely right about that. The 10 points is a lot for a playoff game. And a team like the Browns who are coming off that high, and they're playing with house money. I mean, if they lose, they lose. They did a great job without a coach and their players and COVID. And if they win, they're just, you know, continuing a Cinderella story. I don't think the Browns will win. 10 points is a lot. I kind of like the under. Although, God, picking an under with the Chiefs is just insane. I think I'll take the Browns cover and I'll take the under. I think that's what I'll do for that one. But, so I think we're kind of on the same page here. We're both taking the Browns covering, but picking the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's a pretty big over-under.
Before we get to this last one, this is the kind of conundrum I'm getting into. It seems like this is kind of easy so far. I'm not saying it is, but I'm going to Vegas. All right? Parlays are going to be abound. And I just don't want to get suckered into thinking, this is going to be so easy. A little 3-team parlay, maybe 4 if I'm bold enough with the Bucks and Saints. I'm kind of scared with this last one I'm about to talk about.
Yep.
But, I mean, the Chiefs are going to win, right? The Packers are going to win, right? Like, that's 2 for sure. Those 2 are definitely winning, throwing them in a parlay. And then just got to get one of the other ones right. But this is just what's going to happen. I can already tell you something's going to happen this weekend that's going to it's gonna be a little crazy. That we're going to say we should have seen coming.
Sure. To your point, though, the Bucs-Saints, this is – and the, you know, spread shows that it's pretty straight up. 3-point difference, 51.5 over – it's – this is the one where it's hardest because I think if they were both playing – at their highest levels on both sides of the ball. God, it's still really even difficult because the Bucks, I think the Bucks would win in that case, but they've kind of been a head case at times during the year. The Saints, I think their defense has really anchored the team and their offense just hasn't looked good. I mean, Breeze hasn't been great. Gosh, this is tough though. The Bucks, I mean, you got Brady. Yeah, Brady, you got Bruce.
They are 0-2 against the Saints this year. They've lost both games that they played against the Saints. One of them, remember, in an absolutely embarrassing fashion.
Yeah. I think I'm going Bucks. This is where the Saints get, you know, whatever. The fans will come out of the woodwork and you'll have to just troll them on Twitter for something that happens in this game. And the Bucks win.
So one game was 38-3. That was the one November 8th. And then the other one was the first game of the season, which was 34-23. So I'll say this when trying to pick this game. It is Tom Brady. It's tough to beat a team 3 times in a season, any stretch of the imagination. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
But now it's Tom Brady. I don't even know. I don't think he's ever lost to a team 3 times in a season. He was in the AFC East, obviously, for all those years. So really tough to do that. But now it's the Saints. It's this team that has kind of haunted them this season. They've taunted them. They've showed plenty of memes of what happens when Mike Evans plays the Saints and he gets a total of 2 catches.
Not great.
When guarded by Marshawn Lattimore. So it is going to be good. And this is definitely a rivalry. People think, you know, Ravens-Steelers, right? For rivalries. I mean, this is these 2 teams always getting fights, whether it was Jameis on the Bucks, getting in fights with the Saints, and now he's on the Saints. Who knows what's going on in his head? I want the Bucks. I mean, for both for financial reasons, I want the Bucks. I want Brady to continue on, and I want to just keep seeing Brady because he is definitely the more exciting quarterback. Breeze and Brady are about 85 years old combined, and that is not that is not metaphor or anything. That is a fact. I believe it is. They are literally 85 years old combined. I want the Bucks, so I'm just gonna say the Bucks, and I am not putting this in one of the parlays because I am not confident at all in this. But I am very excited to watch Sunday Night Football, Saints and Bucks, to see who goes to the NFC Championship. And you know what, Jeff? One last thing about just the playoffs. Don't ruin this. Can we just see Brady versus Rodgers? Like, can we see that in the NFC Championship game? Can we, yeah. Jeff?
Come on. Give the people what they want.
And don't let us see Wofford versus... I mean, please. Please.
Yeah. Wofford versus Taysom Hill. Oh,
I mean...
God.
God. There you have it, Jeff.
Put it out in the world. Oh,
oh God. My God. Another one in the books. All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Very excited to see this playoff challenge. And I guess one last thing. Did you ever do the other playoff challenge, the NFL one?
I didn't end up doing it, not because I didn't want to. I just totally spaced out and forgot.
I did not end up doing that one. I did another one in a much smaller chat with only 8 people because I still feel like there was some chicanery going on last year. Mm.
Yeah.
With the playoff challenge, and my team is pretty good. I mixed it up a lot. I put Josh Allen as my quarterback.
Nice.
I mean, it's going pretty good. We'll get a recap on that next week. Just curious to see if you did and going, and like I said, I don't want to just throw $20 down the drain, so that's why I did not want to do that with that the people and the chicanery going on. But we did it, Jeff. The All the Feels Fantasy Podcast.
Before we go, Will, I want to get a little bit of details. You've teased it a couple times here. The Vegas trip, you and Muff.
Mm.
Where are you staying? Where are you planning on gambling? What research has been done into what are the protocols?
So this is really
Vegas.
Really tough because last year there was no COVID. So there was, you know, football watch parties, all that stuff. We attended one at the South Point. Amazing. Googling, research, not a lot has shown up with any sort of watch parties. For better or worse, we think it will not be as crowded. And Muff was there on Halloween. He said as much the same. Not very crowded. So finding a sports book should not be an issue. It's just trying to find the place that has the deals. Or else we're just going to be walking around with our own stuff. We want to be able to take in the atmosphere. We want to buy some food, but we also don't want to be spending $15 on a sandwich, $5 on a Bud Light, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be – that part has not been set, but we are staying at the Park MGM, which
oh, nice.
I did not know took over the Monte Carlo. I thought it was one of the ones that we've all stayed at before, you know, where it's like the one behind the MGM, yeah. You know, like the smaller one.
That's
or whatever.
I thought it was.
Exactly. No, it is in the middle of the strip. It is next to Shake Shack. We will be eating a lot of free Shake Shack on this trip.
Oh, there we go.
Yep. And I think that's it. I think that's what. No real plans other than just we're going to be getting some chicanery. Love chicanery. Great word. Friday night, Island. He's driving.
Ooh, the solo drive.
Yeah, so he is driving. He's going to be bringing some treats for us to enjoy. And it's just going to be a weekend full of debauchery. I'm going to do a better job this week, this trip of handling the tikis. That is for
okay.
sure. That's a promise. Baby. I've made that promise to him, and I will fulfill it.
All right. I want
excited
confirmation of five skulls. So
that's oh, operate Operation 40 Snapchat calls, by the way. So get ready for that.
Oh, yes. I'll jump on one of them.
Oh, no, you guys are going to have to because we will keep it going. I don't care what Kurt says. Can we limit the amount? Because we'll keep doing it until someone picks up. Just like Scotty picked up last night, a revelation on the Snapchat calls. But that's it, Jeff. We did it. Vegas. Oh,
Made
man.
It.
3 days away. Just got to get through this week of work. Thanks for listening, guys. Jose, get us to 50, baby. Peace.
Peace out.